Hey, everybody, it's Mike Schramm from the Incredible Podcast, along with the Terpster.
That's me.
And we are here to introduce you to one of the best podcasts on the internet. It is the lovely Ladies of Elite. We've got Nicole. What do you think of Nicole, Terpster?
Very nice.
Yeah. We've also got Kim, a.k.a. Randy's Molly. What do you think of Kim?
Very nice.
And also Stephanie of, Stephanie, she's awesome. What do you think of her?
Very nice.
All right. All three very nice ladies. It's the Ladies of Elite starting right now.
Yay.
And they just started talking. They just started talking. Now we're putting them
on. Why are they talking over the top of us?
Right. They didn't realize that the show was over. The show is really starting right now.
Now.
No, we're just kidding. It wasn't really starting.
This is still our intro. Okay. You should probably listen to us.
Seriously, thanks very much for listening to our intro.
Stop talking over me, Mike. I'm talking over them. Incrediblepodcast.com.
All right. Thank you very much for listening to our intro, and now the show will start. I'm just kidding. It wasn't really starting.
It hasn't started yet. We're still going. But this way, they don't have to talk as much on their podcast, so we're kind of helping them out. And I think a woman's job is never done. And so we're just doing our bit to help, see if they can finish this one.
All right. Well, that's the end of our intro, for sure, 100%. And now, here's the Ladies of Elite. I'm just kidding. It wasn't really over.
It wasn't over yet. Now
what
it's
been up to this week, Terpster. What's new with you?
What's up with you? Nothing much.
Yeah?
I think I'm just glad that we spent a whole day rehearsing this just to ensure we get this right.
It took a long time to write this and throw out. All right, well, now we really are going to get rid of this.
Turn
it
to get out of the way. Smile. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
We really are going to turn it over. Here you are. It's Cole. It's Kim. Cole? Who's Cole?
I just
Kim,
thought it was cool. I just
Cole
thought
and Stephanie. It's the Ladies of Elite.
Ladies of Elite.
Welcome back to Ladies Elite for June 27th, 2010. This is episode 21, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I am Kim.
And I'm Stephanie.
And today we are discussing Mod Nation Racers, the Red Dead downloadable content, the E3 aftermath, WoW's Midsummer Fire Festival, and we have a fun video game soundtrack quiz that we did just this past week on the Incredible Podcast. We decided to bring it over here to Ladies of Elite.
Awesome.
Yeah. So speaking of that, we just wanted to say thank you to Mike and Terpster for having us on. Kim and I were on that just last week, wasn't it, Kim?
It was on Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday.
It was a week ago today.
Yeah. And I did that pretty quickly, and I apologize because I quickly put together that quiz, and it was with MIDIs. So this week it will not be with MIDIs. It will actually be with legitimate sounds from the games. I put a little extra effort into it and scoured nice. For the soundtracks from the games. But I'm a big fan of doing these quiz, these little fun trivia things. So, yeah, we're going to have a little fun. So, how are you guys doing?
All right.
Yeah, Stephanie?
It is beautiful and sunny here in California, so I'm doing good.
And Kim, you've been on a few other podcasts because I got really sick.
You did, and that's really
yes,
sad.
That's rough.
The For the Lore podcast, and it was their drunk episode, and we didn't get really drunk, but it was
not that drunk.
And those guys are so knowledgeable. I was blown away. I'm like, oh man, I feel totally stupid, you guys. But they were a blast. So go listen to that. And I was also I guested on Bind on Equip this week.
Oh,
with
cool.
Wim and Temp. And can you believe that they got a bumper from Greg Street Ghostcrawler? I was shocked.
Oh wow.
Wait. Where did they run into him?
They didn't. He sent it to him. Well, I guess somebody got it and sent it to him. And yeah, I was shocked. I'm like, wow.
Well,
cool. I had a blast with those guys as well.
That's really well, now that you speak of bumper, we got an amazing bumper for Terpster and Mike when we were on Tipiwa, the Incredible Podcast. And I think I'm going to put it at the front of this one because I'm trying to decide which one because they made like three. So.
Oh, you have to put that last one on. That one was the best.
It went on forever.
I think it's like a 20-minute soliloquy, but
it's awesome. It is so funny. So thank you to Terpster and Mike for having us on and giving us that bumper. That was hilarious. I laughed so hard. I don't know how you kept it in, Kim.
I don't either because we're still live on the mics, and I was literally holding my hand over my mouth so I wouldn't laugh.
Excellent.
So the game that we decided to pick to play is Mod Nation Racers. And this is, I know a lot of people have already discussed this on a few of the podcasts that I've listened to. And I'm not a huge racing game type fan. But Kim, Stephanie, I know you had picked it up and started playing it. And right. I thought, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And so I picked it up. And unfortunately, like I said, I've had company. I got really sick, and I finally got a chance to play it. And let's start with you, Stephanie, since you've probably had the most time with it. Why don't you give the listeners a kind of a rundown of the game?
Well, okay, so if anyone who's listened knows I've never had a Nintendo system, so I am not familiar with Mario Kart, mm-hmm. but I am told it's very similar to that. Where it's the artwork is very animation. It's very bright colors and big heads and little yeah. bodies and you race around wacky race tracks and you can modify your person and your car and there's literally millions of combinations that you can do to change both yourself and your car. And that was kind of really overwhelming for me when I got into
it. It was overwhelming.
The little modification place. Yeah, I was okay, I'm just going simple here because this is going to take me forever if I sit here and put stickers on everything. I was like, whatever. So yeah, I kind of went for the streamlined, let's just get out and do it kind of thing.
And you can buy stuff too. It's like yes. a micropayment system that they've embedded yeah. within the game itself.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah, because if they can get people to spend more money on something, they will. So you can dress up your driver as, like, the top ones are obviously Mario, Iron Man, and Spider-Man. You can have them driving around in your car. And, you know, the tracks themselves were fun. I like the ones where I was jumping through the hoops of flames and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And the racing announcers, they were fun. But, mm-hmm. What was discouraging to me was that no matter how far I progressed in my career, I wasn't actually changing anything that mattered about my car. Mm-hmm. Like my car could have been a streamlined F1 body, or it could have been a school bus, and I would have been doing exactly the same thing
yeah.
on the racetrack. And I was sitting there waiting for it to kick in. I'm like, where am I actually going to get, like, I can improve my traction, I can improve my acceleration, I can drift. Improve my burst speed, you know, where am I actually getting that? And it never actually appeared anywhere. And that's when I kind of went, oh, okay. Yeah, so it's still a fun game.
That's kind of how I felt, too. I mean, it is a lot like Mario Kart. My Mario Kart, of course, doesn't have all the customization that this has, mm-hmm. and it's not a Mario Kart killer, I don't think, but except it's on the PS3, and it was fun in a quick sort of way, and maybe if I had people I knew racing, right. yeah. it might have been more fun, but that AI cheats. I know it cheats, and it was
yeah. There were several times where I'm like first ready to roll across the thing, yes. and all of a sudden I get attacked and I don't even hear the warning sign because you're supposed to hear a warning before the thing as it gets closer to you when somebody's attacking you so you can put your shield up. Never even heard it and it just blew me out of the... And all of a sudden I'm 12.
Exactly.
I'm
like, I know it's cheap.
I thought the tutorial was pretty good when you first go yes. through and, you know, the whole concept of as you're turning you have this drift where yes. you hit the X and then you turn and you get extra points so you can boost... And mm-hmm. I like that. I like,
yes.
you know, I will say racing games give me high anxiety.
Like, yeah.
Anxiety and online games playing with people I don't know give me high anxiety. Mm-hmm. So put yes. the two together, I was a bundle of nerves with this game.
Were you the same way with Mario Kart? Did you feel the same way?
I didn't really play Mario Kart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I can't really compare it.
One of the things that kind of freaked me out just a little bit was, you know, when you're in a mod spot, which is where you can actually modify your car, there are actually other people hanging out there.
Yes.
Before you even get online.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of freaked me out a little because I'm used to choosing whether I am online or offline.
Yeah.
Am I doing this just by myself or am I doing with this other people? And there's kind of this gray area where people can actually talk to you.
And mess with you.
Without you not even being online. And I was kind of taken aback by that. Like, okay, what?
Yeah, I had some guy... and I was going to remember his name just so I could call him out because he kept on bumper carring me like everywhere I went. I was like, dude, back off.
Exactly.
Leave me alone. I don't want to, you know, like I'm a level one. Obviously, I don't know what I'm doing. Just let me figure out what is going on in this place. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can't even you don't even have that time to yourself to acclimate yourself to everything that's going on because there's a lot to take in.
There's so much to take in
there.
Because you go in and people are jumping. I mean, because there's like this whole little, it's almost like a skate park because you can jump on these ramps and then, you know, you can hit your X button and your car will jump. And so if you time it just right, you can do some pretty cool tricks and everybody's showing off and it can get kind of fun. I mean, you can just stay in that area right there and hang out with people. So
did you guys create your own tracks? I thought that was actually fun. I enjoyed that part, although it didn't really do anything to further my gameplay. It was just a fun thing to do.
Just the trophy. Exactly.
Yes, it was a trophy, exactly.
I'm like, I'm going to go to every part because I know I'm going to get a trophy.
Exactly. I did that, too. I'm like, yeah, I'll get a trophy for this one. I'll change my paint color. I'm going to get a trophy for this.
I did have
fun. Yeah, the building of the track was fun, and it was very intuitive. It really helped you out a lot as you're going along because I was like, what am I doing here? I don't know.
What are you doing, exactly?
Just as you start going along, and it's like this big paver. And the paver, you know, it shows you how it's going, and it can actually, the AI can actually finish it for you and place objects for you, and then you can test drive it and things like that. And I really enjoyed that part. I didn't upload any of my stuff because, you know, people
they were like, noob.
I don't want people dissing my stuff.
Exactly. Because one of the tips on there, the tool tips, was... you can say how much you dislike somebody's stuff.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And I'm like, really? That's the tooltip? Not how much you like their stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gorillas in the chat room says it's basically like Little Big Planet Racer that sums it up. I mean, it really kind of does.
It does.
It's a Little
Especially
Big Planet Racer.
Especially the sticker things. I was like, oh, yeah, Big Planet. I mean, I thought it was a fun little game. If you like Mario Kart, you'll probably like this one. I liked it, probably not enough that I would buy it. I rented this one. But if I were going to do the actually build stuff and upload it, then I would buy it because I'd want to keep that, you know, and keep going back to it.
You know what this game has potential for? The split screen. The four player split screen.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Because
but I didn't have anybody to play with
either.
Like, well, you know, I was like, Mark, we could totally, you know, play around the holidays or families around. This is a great multiplayer type game, especially if there's kids in the house. It's just one of those great fun games, easy, intuitive. There's not a lot of. I will say, I went into the XP area. Oh, my God, I got my butt handed to me.
Yeah, I know, right?
I was like, I'm getting out of here. I just quickly left.
I got to tell you, one of the things that I wish that it would let you do is actually see the whole track before you start.
That would have been nice, yeah.
Like, they show you little pieces of it, but, I mean, you're essentially starting out blindfolded. It always took me two turns to finish first. Because the first time I'm going around trying to actually get my bearings and figure out what this track's all about...
and then I'll finish badly, and then I have to redo it, and then I know what the track's about. Yeah. But if they could give me that before I actually start, like, let me just see what the path is. Mm-hmm. But you know, they just kind of throw you in.
This game is about tenacity and replaying, yes. And I mean, it is about replay, yeah. replay. Knowing the track.
Yeah, so,
learning the track.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. If you want to play it, continue to play it, then buy it. It's, you know, definitely a buy game.
It's a cute. But it's definitely
it is a cute
fun
game.
Little game.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of racers, but I'm glad I have it in my library for probably, you know, those times where I need a good multiplayer game.
It would be fun. Can you describe what your car looked like in the end?
Mine is pink.
Okay.
With dots on it.
Okay.
And I put little skulls on it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really go too far with it, to be honest.
Kim, what was yours?
My outfit.
Yes.
I'm pretty transparent here.
I started out with a basic race car. And I picked the sky color, and then I slapped a whole bunch of hippie stickers all over it, and a pinwheel. That was my first car. And then my second car, I let it just completely randomize. And it picked this super cool, kind of like a 40s roadster that went from a very dark purple faded to black and with no stickers whatsoever. And I went straight with that. But here's the weird part. So as you're playing the game, you pick up these tokens off the racetrack, mm-hmm. and then you go to the little vending machines inside
the hotspot, right?
Yeah, and you can kind of cash them in for random things. And here's the thing: I just have to mention the random thing that it gave me was a new engine. It was a beating heart.
Oh.
And that grossed me out. I gotta tell you, because it was exposed,
ew.
So you can see it pumping, and I was like. If you think I'm racing around the track with a beating heart in the back of my car, you've got to be just smoking something, because that's not going to happen.
The other thing I noticed, like in the kind of general lobby area, they highlight different cars that you can download. So I downloaded the A-Team van. I downloaded Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I got Scooby-Doo's.
Is that every day that those change?
I
thought it was the most popular.
I sold those two, so yeah, I think they're just go by most popular.
Oh, okay. Because I thought, wow, why would I ever pay for anything if those just keep changing?
Right.
You know? So I thought that was kind of neat.
But it's cool you
downloaded. Yeah, I only saw them change every once in a while. Most of the time it was... the Scooby-Doo van.
Yep.
There's a Ferrari.
I can't remember the other two that were up there. But I remember the Scooby-Doo van because I was like, hell yeah, I'm getting that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a rent game. Rent it.
I would say rent it. Yeah, definitely. Even though I bought it. But yeah. It's a rental. That's especially cool. Around the holidays and when you need to have something for a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's something for a whole bunch of people can play rather than just a single person.
How about you, Kim?
Yeah, if you have kids or if you are like you who, you know, have people come over during those times and you can play with other people, I think it's a great game. And I think it's a great game for, kids. I think they would mm-hmm. really enjoy this. Mm-hmm. Me personally, this was just a rental. I really enjoyed what I did, but I wouldn't go back and continue to play it. Yeah. So
you make a good point, Kim. I think kids would love it. It's just not for me. I'm just coming from the perspective that I'm just not a big race type fan. So
you know, and I loved Mario Kart. So you know, it's weird that. I mean, I liked it, and I thought it was fun, and I used to play Mario Kart a lot, but I think it was with my kids. Mm. You know, me and my two boys would sit there and play mm-hmm. for hours. And if my kids were smaller, maybe we would play with them tonight, yeah. I would play with them as well. Not tonight, but play with them as well. So I think it is a good family. It's a good family game.
Yeah. Well, Gorillas in the chat room says, I only like racers where I can blow stuff up. You can blow stuff up. You can blow each other up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You get little mods on your cars that you can like shoot each other. Yeah. So that's part of the racing part of the game. So as you're going through the racetrack, you get boosters and you're flying through the air and you're collecting these things. And what are there, some of the things are like ice bolts, and there's all kinds of different things that you can get to attack each other.
Yeah, it's the same type of weapons you get in Mario lightning things and fire things.
Yeah, definitely give it a rent. See if you like it. And feel it out. If you want at least one type of racer game in your collection, it's worth a look because it's a fun little game. So it's just a little bit intimidating just for me because of the whole online aspect of it, and a little too intense for my liking because it just throws you in there. So
yeah,
all right.
But I'm glad I played it. I did have a lot of fun.
Yes.
While I was playing it. So, yeah.
I have to say, I went out of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Exactly. Exactly. We stretched
next
a little.
Sports game. Watch this.
Let's go back to my comfort zone, which is Red Dead Redemption.
Woo! Yes.
And let's talk about the downloadable content that came out on June 22nd. And the downloadable content that was released was all the co-op missions. So there was a free co-op mission that came out that had six epic missions included. Walton's Gold, The River, Ammunition, what was it? The Daughter, the
Kidnapped Girl.
Kidnapped Girl.
And The Herd.
And The Herd.
The Herd. Oh, I hated my The least Herd. Favorite. Oh, my
the least,
God.
My least favorite. Yeah.
I hated. Can you please explain to me, if you are trying to capture a herd, why would you want to shoot the herd?
Yeah.
I don't understand that, but that's beside the
exactly.
point.
Exactly. I was thinking that as I'm going.
Why are they shooting them?
Why are they shooting the cows? I mean, that's silly.
Okay, so on the 22nd, they released this free downloadable content. And there was an interesting thing that happened to the servers. But first, before we get to that, have you guys played the downloadable content?
Oh, many, many times.
Yes. And yes. So how you play this downloadable content wasn't really clear. You can play up to four party members in your posse. So you can have four people in your posse. And when you hit the select button, there's a new option down at the very bottom called cooperation missions. And it will take you into a new area where you can now pick who you want to be. Where typically when you went into those kind of gang matches, you were just randomly a miner or a federale. Now you can actually pick whether or not you want to be a miner or a soldier. And each one of those types of guys give you certain weapons. So a miner, you're going to have a shotgun and you're going to be more of a close range attack. So it really strategically, your posse needs to look at each one of those types of I guess what should you call them, the classes. Yeah. Before you go into these missions, because there's some, like for instance the kidnapped daughter, there towards the end you need a sniper. Because there are some bad guys at the top of the mountains that you need that sniper to be able to hit.
Or at
them.
Least a Springfield.
Yeah.
You need to at least have a Springfield to hit them. Because a Winchester's not going to get them.
Exactly.
No.
So I had a lot of fun. Mark and I, we partied up two people in a posse. And I will say, if you have only two people in the posse, it's really hard.
Yeah,
it's easier.
There is an achievement for that.
Yes, there are. I mean, it's kind of, But it makes it a little bit more challenging. You have to be a lot more strategic as you go through the missions and how you want to approach each of the checkpoints as you go through the zones. So,
which made it more interesting, didn't it? It wasn't just a random, I'm out there riding my horse and shooting at stuff. Mm-hmm, you really had to think about what you were doing. And my favorite one is, my favorite mission is ammunition.
Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's what you're doing is you're storming a hill, basically.
Oh, yeah.
You're killing all the Mexican soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's a raging storm, and you have to go up this hill, and you have to tear or shoot down the cannons. Mm-hmm. And there's Gatling guns, and you can't see for most of the time.
Oh, that one is hard. Yeah.
Love that one.
It's
that was
very hard.
Totally my favorite.
It is, yeah. It took us like two or three times. Yeah.
Hakino and I were trying that one, and we kept on getting killed by the cannons.
Yeah, so yes. you have to strategically go up the hill, but you have to know which way to go too because you can't see and you keep sliding down the hill.
Gotcha.
Oh my lord! How many times did I fall down that hill?
Oh, I know.
It's like the longest slide ever.
So that one, I really enjoy that one because that one takes a lot of strategy. Always. And also with the lightning and everything going on.
Mm-hmm. Very atmospheric.
So cool.
So what you were mentioning about the posse is, I just want to say, you don't actually have to be in a posse.
Oh, you don't?
If you're just in a regular public free realm, you can join and then other people will just join in too. And they'll fill in the spots. So if you have two people, you can join with your two and then other two people will join in.
Oh.
As long as you don't hit ready, it'll sit and wait for other people to join in.
Okay.
But obviously if you're on a private and nobody's ever join in.
And that's how I've gone into those co-ops. Okay.
Right.
That makes
sense.
But
if you're on public, you just sit there and join. I've joined as a single person and then been put in with three other random people.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. So
I don't play well with others sometimes though.
Yeah, just from my experience, it really, really helps if people have a headset, and I cannot stress this enough.
Yeah.
If you have a headset, please, or if you're thinking about getting one, please do get one, because it really improves the experience if you can actually talk to the people. Because when I'm playing in dead silence, it kind of creeps me out a little. And these co-op missions are different from your normal multiplayer, because if one of your players gets hurt to the point where they're going to die, one of the other team members can come over and revive them. If they don't, they're dead.
Yeah.
They says that they bleed out, and they're out until you reach the next checkpoint.
It's kind of like Modern Warfare,
right?
Two.
It's very important for people to know where your partners are, where your teammates are, and don't stray too far away from them, because you need to, if one of them goes down, you need to run over and revive them. And that's something they don't tell you in the co-op mission.
unless you're hit by a massive explosion.
then you're just dead. Then you got to wait to the end. Here's my problem with headsets on PlayStation Network. I go in a lot of the times on public free roam. Mm-hmm. Here's what I typically hear. Are you a guy or a girl?
Oh, dear Lord.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that already. Yeah.
Oh, Stephanie, you have to tell your story too about.
And I just want to say, are you an idiot? That's typically what I just want to say back to them, because I just, it just bothers me. And we have a story that we're gonna talk about in news, about 10-year-old children. But that's typically why I just don't bother with voice on the consoles.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, so I was telling Molly, this is why she's got the story. So it was very late Friday night, and I was playing online, obviously, and I was doing the co-op missions, and I was by myself, so I was getting thrown in with random people, and I got thrown in with somebody who was clearly playing from a German server because his title was in German. So, and he and I are getting along pretty well. He's not talking, but we're anticipating each other pretty well. So we keep playing a couple of games together, and he sends me a friend request, and I say, hello from California. He says, hello from Germany. And then his very next thing is, how old are you? And I'm like, oh,
man,
too old for you. But I have gotten, especially because I have the mic, right?
So, right.
And the name of my PSN has girl in it.
Right.
The girl, right? So, and my character is a girl.
Right.
So, a red flag. Hey, it might be a girl. I've actually had, you know, guys go, are you really a girl? And as soon as I say that I am, I get one of two reactions. They either shut up and say nothing, absolutely nothing from then on, or they become instant chatterboxes. And they're just cracking jokes or talking about this, that, and the other thing. And it either makes them very uncomfortable or it relaxes them that I'm a girl. Because when I'm playing, I actually like to talk about what's going on when we're doing the mission, you know, like, okay, so when we're doing the kidnap girl, you know, you start out with a bunch of guys that are trying to sniper you, and I'll say, I got the guy on the Gatling gun, I got the guy on the ridge, whatever, I'm moving up to plant the explosives. I'll actually talk like that, and I think that relaxes them a little.
You never shoot them in the head,
dude. If you just sit there in dead silence, that really creeps me out, and I'm sitting there thinking, what's wrong with these people?
Oh, they're not talking. I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
So I've had mostly good reactions. I've had some bad reactions, but mostly good. Hey, that's what mute's for, right?
Yeah.
If you find somebody you don't like, just put them on mute.
Or just leave a game. Yeah.
Yeah, just leave it and go pick another one.
Yeah.
So Scold, the rescue, the kidnapped girl, the river, the herd, and ammunition, which is...
I have to say, I'm really impressed with these co-op missions. I'm having a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, I gotta say, my second least favorite, just because of difficulty, is the river.
The river is hard. Yeah. Especially the last part of it.
Exactly. That's my problem, is you're on the river for so long. I mean, it literally takes like 17, 18 minutes to finish this.
Yeah.
And you can get all the way to the end, to that last part where you land in Nosalita, and your party can wipe very easily. Very easily.
Let me paint a picture.
And you're like, what?
Well, let me paint a picture. I'm with Mark, and he blows me up. And I go, what the? He goes, oh, there's a bomb over there. Thanks.
Oh, by the way,
let me know.
Get out of the way there.
We're sitting like in the same room. You could have let me know.
Yeah. I didn't know you were doing that.
So, are your guys' PS3s in the same room?
I'm in the living room. He's in the bedroom, which is just right next to, like, just on the other side, so I can hear him. Without a headset.
You guys are like, with each other.
So on the day that the downloadable content came out, there was an interesting bug that had happened on the public free roam servers. And a few people, I think a lot of people saw this bug, including myself and Mark and Scott and Hakito and even Putinki on AIE. Because I put a tweet out and I was curious to see who took advantage of it. Because I'm calling this the best bug ever. And this bug caused the public servers to... basically have no NPCs, no animals, no bad guys, nothing. It was ghost town. You went into the server. You couldn't see anyone. You couldn't see any other players. You could run around. You wouldn't get attacked by cougars. Nothing. A lot of people were really confused. They really didn't know what was going on. So people were going into the servers and immediately leaving.
Sure.
So
that would be my reaction.
Yeah. But there were some people that were like, okay, we know what's going on. Because what you would do, you would just go to a hideout. You couldn't call your horse even. Horses weren't even callable. You would walk to a hideout. And because there were no bad guys, the system said, oh, you finished the hideout. Ta-da! 400 XP.
Way.
You hit the left button to replay. Ta-da! 400 XP. You hit the left.
Okay, now that's a little disturbing there.
So.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
This is why, and this is why Mark is saying, oh, you're a lady of cheat.
So I wasn't sure that's how it worked.
This is so Scott, I think, got like 5 levels on it. I was at level 38. So I played to level 38. I know the game. So I was thinking, okay, wow, I'm going to get some great, you know, I'm going to get a few levels out of this. They're going to reboot the servers easy, right? I got to level 50 before they rebooted this. They didn't even reboot the server. I got tired. So I went level 38 to level 50. It is all on my PS3. So they don't do anything server side. So there was a lot of people that were leveling their tunes. I mean, there was a bunch on that server. And it wasn't just one server. There was a lot of servers that this affected. So, and Mark is, it's so funny because, you know, he's throwing stones, but he lives in a glass house because he went to level 46.
Oh, you're such a good boy, Mark. You know, thank goodness you didn't make it all the way to 50 there.
But I wanted to bring this up because how it was making me feel, you know, I started doing this and I was like, you know, I'll do a few levels. But then I was realizing they're not doing anything. So as I was doing it again and again, it was making me feel more and more uncomfortable. And even though I didn't hack the system, it wasn't me, but is there an ethical thing that I wanted to bring it up to you, especially you, Stephanie, because I know you worked, you're at level 50, right?
Yeah, I was 50 the day that it came out. So yeah, I was actually not getting XP because I was that day because I was actually debating about going to legendary or not. Once you get to 50, you get the choice of staying at 50 and keeping all your perks or switching to legendary, which kicks you back to level 1 and you lose all of the mounts that you had, the guns that you had, and all of the achievements that you had. So you're essentially starting back from scratch.
How awesome is that bull, though?
Yes, the bull is very, very awesome. I only had him a couple days and then I gave him
up. He's very mean because he'll run you over. Does he run you over?
I think he needs more time to acclimate to.
He's like, I know what you were up to.
Yeah, what you're gonna be doing.
But I wanted to bring this up, this question up to you because I went through this process almost for this conversation because I know a lot of people went through this and went through this method of, you know, I didn't hack the system. The system kind of presented itself. But I wanted to do this because it did make me feel uncomfortable. And I was like, you know what? How far is too far? And was just a little already too far, you know? So it was just...
I think this question is out there in every game. And I don't... It's not a hack, but it is an exploit. When you find an exploit in a game...
Right.
You know, how ethical is it to take advantage of it? And that's really what you're doing is taking advantage of that exploit.
Yeah.
The way I kind of view it is if it's not hurting anyone else, it's probably not a big deal.
Right.
It's just a game. And those are just levels. Those were levels you were going to get anyway. You're just getting them a little faster. If it was giving you some advantage over somebody else, you know, I think that's a little different, but you know,
well, here's the thing. The next day, I went into free roam multiplayer with Terpster, who is just starting out in multiplayer. So he's like level 3 or 4. He kills me, takes my guns, and he's like, I'm going to run with you all the time. And we start running and, some kids start griefing us. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm level 50. And I just start killing them. I'm like, I'm protecting you, Terpster. So I'm thinking, I am so glad I'm 50.
You would have gotten 50 anyway.
I wouldn't have gotten there that night. But here was the interesting thing. They were exploiting a cheat in the game. There is, I can't remember what hideout, the mines. You can actually bounce dynamite off of walls. You can hide and bounce dynamite. So they were griefing us in the mines and bouncing dynamite off and killing us. And I was like, you little turds.
Well, how do you know that that was an exploit and not something that they wanted?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that they were just doing things that were messing with us. So, yeah, right. I mean, there's all those little things in the game that, you know, you may or may not know that are there, and Rockstar may or may not know are there. So, I don't know. It's six of one, a half dozen of the other. So, it's just, yeah. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have felt that bad. I would have felt a little guilty, but yeah. I probably wouldn't have felt that bad if I did it. But
okay, Molly, now since you just recently were working to get attuned to 80, what if I told you that through an exploit, I got attuned from 75 to 80 in one day? How would you feel about that?
I would be like, wow, I wish I would have done that. I bet I wouldn't be upset with you for doing that. I would have just been like
darn, I wish I would have. Yeah.
Just like this one. I was like, gosh, I wish I would have gotten on that night, but I wasn't able to get on that night. So, you know, that makes me sad. I wish I was 50 and had my bull. But I don't think you should feel bad about it.
Okay.
That's just me. Mark should feel bad for giving you so much grief and him being at 46.
Has Rockstar said anything about this, or are they just kind of swept under the rug?
I haven't heard anything. Well, it was funny because the server that we were on, they rebooted it. And then we were like, oh, well. And we were, I think, at 45 when they rebooted it. And we're like, oh, well, we got what we got. You know, we're done. And we were curious to see if we were going to get to keep the levels. So Mark logged back in and he got into another server that had the same thing. So he brought me back in and I finished up and he went to bed. So, and I got to keep them and he got to keep them too. Cause it's not server side. It's in the system.
Yeah, so it would have been a nightmare for them to try to clean that up. Yeah. So I can see why they wouldn't even try.
And I searched online. I didn't see anything written about it. And I know that there it was more than just us that there was a large. And it was funny because people were like, don't travel anywhere. And I used the transports. It didn't affect it. It's just, it was funny because there was some weird glitchiness. Like, even though we couldn't see each other, like if we shot the lanterns, we could see the lanterns bust. There was some funny things, like if another person came into my hideout, they would mess up the rotation. So I like throw firebombs at them to try to make them leave. Like, get out of here, leave. And then I moved to another area. So, yeah, there was some glitchiness. There was glitchiness to the bugs even, you know?
The bugs have bugs.
Exactly. So, was there anything else that you guys played over the week?
Oh, I was all about Red Dead.
Yeah.
Well, I played, I have Puzzle Quest. I was excited about Puzzle Quest 2 coming out, which we'll talk about later in the show. And I have Puzzle Quest for my computer, my PC, but I saw it was free for one day on the iPhone.
Oh.
From the Apple Store. So I got it, and I got it on my iPad, and I've just been hooked on it. I love Puzzle Quest anyway, and I don't know if you guys know what Puzzle Quest is.
I do. I have it on my DS.
Okay, yeah. Well, basically, it's Bejeweled and a role-playing game all in one. So you go on quests, but it's all, and it's like battle Bejeweled. So you're battling somebody else in it, and you have different spells you can learn, and you can get mounts and level up and things like that. So it's a lot of fun. It is just so addictive. But on the iPad, it's really laggy.
Oh.
You know, on the computer, it's really smooth. It's very pretty. It's a lot of fun. The iPad, it's very laggy. And so
is it iPad enabled or is it the iPhone and then just iPad.
Yeah, it's an iPhone.
Okay. So you just it's the iPad or the iPhone version on the iPad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's still fun and still addictive, and I play it in the car mm-hmm. all the time. You know, when I'm the passenger, not while I'm driving. That's good. So I've been playing the crap out of that.
Well, we talked last time about the Yard Sale Hidden Treasures Sunnyvale game. And mm-hmm. you had said that it was on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Well, I downloaded it. It was like 99 cents. And since I had a lot of company and then I got sick, that was the perfect game. Because
so you enjoyed it?
I was in bed mostly because I was so sick. And it was just... I was just, you know, pointing, finding things. I finished it. It was perfect. It was the perfect kind of pick it up. Okay, I'm tired now. I'm going to take a nap. I loved it.
It's a good one, too. I mean,
I loved the
objects that mm-hmm. you get and the different types of yard sales that you're going and searching.
Well, I like that the list built as you found objects. It wasn't like, here's your humongous list, now find them all. It was like, here's the list, find these items. Now that you found these, we're going to add to that list.
Right.
So I kind of liked that. It was kind of nice. I was like, oh, I just saw that. Oh, okay. Now I didn't realize that they were adding to as I was finding things. So yeah, and I liked all the different I had favorite boards. Like I really liked the Count Dracula board. Like there were certain ones that I really liked. So it was fun. And for 99 cents it was great. It was perfect for being sick and traveling and not being able to play actual video games while I had company. So it was a nice little kind of tuck away game. So yeah.
I have one more thing mm-hmm. that I just, this was so cute. And I'm going to post the picture up on our website, but you know, we were talking about Phoenix Wright, the game
mm-hmm.
this week. And there is one of the guys that I play with over on Jublathos, Grizzlebee. He sent me a tweet and told me that him and his girlfriend met at a con while they were dressed as Phoenix Wright characters.
Oh, really?
And so I'm going to post it on the page. I just thought
what's the best thing. If you send me a link, I can actually put it to the chat room.
Oh, I've just got it on my
computer. Okay. Oh, gotcha.
Now. So darn it, but you'll see it. I will put it up there today after the show. I meant to do that, but yeah, Grizzlebee and his girlfriend. I think he's dressed as the detective, and his girlfriend is Phoenix Wright, I think. And the other one, Miles Edgeworth. No, she's Miles Edgeworth, and there is another girl as Phoenix Wright.
Oh, that's awesome!
So it was just so cool.
That's really awesome. Well, let's move on to internet news and buzz. So E3 has come and gone. And I know we talked a little bit about kind of what was coming up. Kim, you wanted to talk about kind of what you were excited from to see coming out of E3.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much that came out, too. I think the thing that I'm most excited about is the Nintendo 3DS. I don't know why I'm so excited about that, but I'm going to get that. The day it comes out, I'm getting that. My only problem with it is that right now, the only colors I think are red and black. I'm not even sure if there's a white one. So there's no pink one yet. So I want a pink one because I love my pink DS. So I'm really excited about that. Of course, they announced PlayStation Move and the Kinect from the Xbox. They did announce a new Xbox mm-hmm. with
the Slim, is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think people are calling it the Slim. I don't think that's the official name of it. But people are calling it that. And, you know, you guys, I had bought an Xbox just a few weeks ago.
Oh, I returned
that one.
You turned it?
I returned it.
Oh, did you?
Nice.
Yeah, and they took it. And I was like, wow. And I'm going to get one of these. I haven't gotten it yet because my son is away for the summer. So I just got his Xbox for now. So I am going to get a new one because I thought, you know, why do I have this old one when I can take it back and get a new one and have it Kinect ready? Even though I'm not excited about the Kinect.
Yeah.
You know, it would be nice to have it Kinect ready.
I don't care about any of that stuff. I mean,
dude, seriously.
I don't care about 3D. I don't care about motion. I don't care. I just don't care.
You don't care about the 3DS either?
No. I'm with you.
I don't care. I mean,
are you going to get them?
No. I just don't. I just don't care.
I am excited about the 3DS. And I don't know why. Maybe just because I love my DS anyway, that this is just another level to it and I don't have to wear glasses or anything. You can control the 3D by a slider, which is really cool. It's got a SD card. I think it's going to be, I didn't get a DSi, so I still have my original, my DS Lite is what I have. So it's time to get a new one anyway when it comes out, and I think it's like 2011, so it'll be next year before it comes out.
I guess maybe why I feel so indifferent or so put off is because they are making me feel like I need to give a crap so much. And when I feel like I'm being pushed to care, I do the exact opposite.
Right.
You know?
Look at the shinies. Isn't it cool? Well, actually, no. No, it's not.
And until I find a reason to care myself, you can tell me to care as much as until you turn blue in the face. But until I actually find a reason for myself to care, I won't, you know.
Okay, so what about the new the PSN Plus or the PlayStation
Now
Plus?
That I'm tempted.
So this one, what I think it gives right now, it's saying you can get exclusive features and content, preferred early demos, themes, menus that are available only to the Plus users, discounts, automatic downloads. So the thing I am worried about is how much are they going to take away from the PSN they have now? They said, you know, the online content is still going to be free. They're not going to charge for it or, you know, playing online. But, you know, right now you get those free demos and things like that. So I wonder how many of those are going to be going away to this PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely get it if it looks like it's going to be worth my money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I like when they give you added value for the money. And we'll just have to see, I think.
Well, all this is kind of a wait and see. The only thing that I would be concerned about is if you stop paying, I guess, the games that you would pay for, they go away, right?
Like the demos or the exclusive features?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, I don't know. Have to wait and see. Yeah, I think it would just depend on what the content was. If it was a one-time download, you might get to keep it because you paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that is either online or continuously updated, I imagine that'll go away.
Yeah. Well, then, go ahead.
You guys see the Zelda game? Are you excited about that?
No.
I know a lot of people are. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I mean, people that love the franchise. I mean, it falls in the same category with Mario and all of the classic franchise that everybody loves. I mean, tried and true. And
did you play Twilight Princess?
I haven't enjoyed Zelda for a long time.
I didn't like it either. I mean, Twilight Princess was my least favorite Zelda game, so that's why I'm not looking forward to Skyward Sword. It's I'm just not looking forward to it. So yeah, Zelda, not excited about it.
Okay. No,
sorry.
All right.
Really not a whole lot more came out of it that I was like, oh my god, that is so awesome.
Yeah.
That was my big thing. Was there anything you guys saw?
Well, I was in Frog Pants chat room the other day, and Luthra sent me a private message, and he sent me a link to a really cool article from, I think it's GamePro, and he was saying that him and his girlfriend listened to the show, and I wasn't aware of this, but this is a new technology that they're going to be using on a really cool looking game called LA Noir. And it's, I guess it's called Depth Analysis. And Stephanie, I think you took a look at this as well, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, essentially it's a new way of getting modeling on the actor that's doing the action or emoting for a video game. Like traditionally they've used motion capture, mm-hmm. which is, you know, where they stick like white balls to get their physical body motion, you know, like how they move their shoulders and their hips and how they walk and stuff like that. But the face has always eluded traditional methods mm-hmm. of capturing, like, and that's why so many video games, they try so hard to get you involved in the game, but when the face is not emoting, you're not there, you just don't make that connection. So this is their new technology of mapping the face and getting every nuance of, you know, how
it's
your
amazing.
Eyebrow grows. Yeah, it's, I mean, when you look at the article and you look at this, at the screen capture that they've got, it's astounding the level of detail that they've got.
Yeah. One of our friends of the show, Liam, I see him sending on his Facebook page every once in a while, he's doing a new game and he has all the little white balls all over his head. And
yeah, that's the old school way.
But this one, actor, John Noble, he's from Fringe. So mm-hmm. there's in this article, there's a side-by-side picture of him. And it is amazing how just every little crevice of his face is represented in this capture technology. And it reminds me of what could be possible for something like the game Heavy Rain.
Yes,
exactly. That's what, and I think this game is supposed to be in that kind of genre. It's a detective story, and I think it's a story driven game. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping this looks amazing, and I'm really excited to see how well they make these faces actually look. You know, when they're talking.
Yeah,
yeah. LA,
usually, what happens is they try and match the mouth movements to simulate what's actually being said, but imagine actually being able to capture as they're saying the lines.
Right.
That'll be awesome.
Instead of just trying to imitate it.
And this is also an Australian company as well. Depth Analysis is the company, and they're from Australia. And they're a little tiny company.
Yeah.
What these little companies can do.
Yeah, the article goes in saying that they were just kind of off to the side. Would they have a piece of paper on the wall or something?
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, they were tucked away. No big fanfare. But this was the coolest thing that this person saw at E3. So this LA Noir game is an interactive detective story set in the classic noir period of the late 1940s. It blends action, detection, and complex storytelling, and draws players into an open-ended challenge to solve a series of gruesome murders.
Very cool.
This does sound like a cool game. I mean, it has this type of technology in it. Oh,
this is going to look awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, because I liked Heavy Rain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Alan Wake.
Jazz. Yeah.
And this time period is going to be incredible
in
that kind of story, you know? Mm-hmm. That's going to be cool.
Hey, Tits.
And hopefully they get the story down as well. Have a good storyline. Because when you have a detective story, you've got to have a good story. Or it just doesn't work, you know?
Right. Very cool. Looking forward to that. I don't know. I don't see a release date on it. Do you?
No.
It just says N.A.
I think Rockstar has their hands full right now.
Oh, is it a Rockstar game?
Yes, it is. LA Noire is Rockstar. So you know it's going to be good. Come on.
It's going to be good, but
it's going to be late.
How buggy is it going to be? How buggy and late, yeah.
Well, this is a different studio office that's dealing. So. Yeah.
All right. So the next article that we have is from Gaming Angels, our friends over at Gaming Angels. And I just came across this just today, actually. It was written, not too long ago, just today. and it's titled, "A 10-Year-Old Boy Made Me Angry." It's a very, very clever article. And as an adult gamer, I really enjoyed it just from the perspective of someone that games, that interacts with children from time to time in online gaming area. And did you guys have a chance to read this? 'Cause
I did.
I found it kind of endearing, and I really enjoyed it. She goes through and she's talking about how she's playing Modern Warfare 2 at 2 a.m. in the morning with some adult friends. And she's talking about various things. And then all of a sudden, our tiny little squeaky voice goes, "I'm going to own you guys."
Oh, my Lord.
And she says, "That's it. My night starts going downhill from there." So apparently the little boy starts, screaming and cussing and doing all kinds of smack talk and things like that. Again, going back to why I just don't like doing voice on consoles. So, and she brings up some valid questions about the ratings of mature games and the roles of parents and, you know, kind of bringing up why aren't the parent, you know, where are the parents? Number one, it's 2 a.m. You know, it's hard to say, you know, where this child is time zone wise. But I just thought it was a well done article. I thought it was worth bringing up, especially if you are a parent listening and you're kind of going through those periods of you have children and you're wondering, you know, what they should or shouldn't be playing. And I thought it was a well done article. So,
well, yeah. And she talks about how this little boy starts just cussing and, you know, talking smack with things that, you know, I wouldn't use that language, you know, really ever. And so the thing that I was thinking about was, okay, so even if you let your child play a M-rated game and they're up late and they're online, you need to teach your child how to communicate online with people. Okay, so getting past the point that it's an M-rated and getting past the point that a 10-year-old probably shouldn't be online unsupervised.
Yeah.
past those things, you need to teach your kid how to
interact, socialize
with people online because it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the 10-year-old kids, you know, they're going to be so connected by the time they grow up that they better learn now how to interact with people online and that anonymity now rather than later, because it's just going to cause them more trouble down the line.
Well, I, as I was reading this, you know, when I was younger, when I was 10, it wasn't games that my parents had to worry about. It was mature movies. And my parents let me watch mature movies, but they monitored that, and they had to, you know, they screened a lot of movies, and they had to kind of gauge that kind of, you know, sometimes they would like, well, that one was okay, we'll let her watch that. But, you know, I have a vivid memory in my head on them screening Children of the Corn, for instance, and me, you know, hanging upside down from the stairs trying to sneak a peek. But but they wouldn't let me watch it, you know, because I was too young. But those were the kinds of situations that, you know, the parent needs to make that decision.
I think part of the problem is parents that aren't gamers
So they're probably not as informed as we are. So we know when you get an M-rated game, more than likely it's rated M for a very good reason. And you do not want a 10-year-old kid playing that type of game. And there's plenty of other games out there that are age appropriate for them. Even the T games, you know, they could play T level games. Mm-hmm. So I know when my son was working at GameStop, he always, if he saw a parent that had little kids buying an M-rated game, he would tell them exactly what the kids
were going to
have.
Right, but how many times did they give him grief for trying to tell him what to buy and what not to buy?
Yeah, many, many times. But, you know, he was like, you know, it made him sick seeing some of that happen. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is, you know, parents just don't know because they're not gamers and they don't really realize. They don't watch it with their kids. It's a babysitting tool.
Absolutely, a babysitting tool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's okay. You know, if the TV
is way more dangerous, though. Way more dangerous because now you have online access.
Yeah.
You don't know who they're talking to.
Yes.
And you don't know clearly what they're saying. I mean, that kid must have had a mouth like a toilet. And it doesn't bother you that your kid is using language like that? I mean, besides the fact that they're playing this game, but holy, they're talking trash to complete strangers using language. We obviously game. We don't use language like that.
Right.
So somebody needs to reel this back and say, this is not a good idea. If you want to play this game by yourself, that's one thing. But when you throw them into an online situation where you don't know who they're playing with, forget about it.
Yeah.
If you're not there to monitor it, cut it off. Don't let them do it. Come on, just use common sense.
Yeah.
Would you let your kid sit on a chat room, like just sit there without being monitored? That's exactly what they're doing.
But I think those are the parents who really just don't
get
understand.
It.
Yeah. They don't get it. That wow, there's some really freaky people out there.
Yeah.
Really,
your kid might be one of them. Your kid might be one of those freaky people.
We see this in WoW too. We get kids that get in bed and we, you know, we have to talk to them and all of a sudden, you know, we're acting like their parents.
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite line is that when she caught the woman who wrote the article, she caught her own child playing Left 4 Dead online. and someone listening to their child smack talk said, "Is that Pikachu?" That's the best. I'm gonna have to remember that now.
Pikachu, I pick you.
So what did she do? She cut him off. She grounded him.
She grounded him.
Come on. That you don't just reward behavior like that, or you gotta step up and see what your kids are involved in.
Yep.
Well, and you've gotta, there are controls on MMOs, there's controls on the consoles.
Absolutely.
that will restrict your child from getting online. And another thing that parents just need to be aware of, that they can do that.
Absolutely.
And I don't think anybody listening to our podcast needs to know that, because, you know, I would think that they're pretty well informed, but spread it to your other friends who aren't gamers, their kids are, they need to.
And I think, I mean, you brought up a good point earlier. I think we also are afraid of, you know, oh, we don't want to step over a boundary, or, oh, we don't want to. But I don't know. Sometimes maybe a light little suggestion might be helpful. I guess the approach is the right way. I mean, sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. Well, I mean, like Ralph said in our chat room, when my kids were smaller, I used to force them to trash talk so they would get it right. You know, if they're going to do it, they got to do it right.
Expand your vocabulary. Not every word needs to be the F word.
Exactly. Creative. Come on.
That's right. Come on.
All right.
The dictionary's there for.
Oh, wait. So, Steph, you found another article on 5 reasons why it's still not cool to admit you're a gamer.
Yes.
Is it still not cool?
It's still not cool, and you'll agree when you hear the reasons. The very first one is called "We Can't Shake the Lonely Antisocial Virgin Stereotype." How many times has somebody said the old so-and-so living in mom's basement?
That's true.
Everybody still has that idea in their head, and And this guy that writes it, who actually happens to be the editor of the website, he says, everybody plays video games, even my mom does. And yet, if you would say you are a gamer, immediately what pops in people's heads is, I haven't touched a boob. I've never seen a boob. I don't know what a social relationship really is. Because I like games, I don't know what it is to be social. That's the very first thing that pops into people's heads, is you don't know how to be social.
They do say that.
Yeah. The next one, which we have to all agree, is the industry thinks we're all 17-year-old douchebags. Excuse me if we're using the word douchebags, but that's exactly what the word is in the article. And really, when you look at E3, that'll be
yeah.
That's what they think.
But not PAX.
We love PAX.
That's what they think the whole gaming purchasing community is, mm-hmm. is these 17-year-old kids. And in reality, the average gaming age is 35.
Really?
Not 17, 35.
Wow. Because they're the ones that can afford it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. We've all grown up and we have jobs.
Yeah. But they give all these examples of when you're looking at the games, they over-sexualize the women so much that it just makes you feel like, oh my God, can't we move past this? We're not all 17 horn dogs. You know, some of us can appreciate a woman that actually has clothes on. And you know.
It's crazy. I love how they put the guy from the peacocking guy.
Yes.
From MTV in here.
What was that thing? Something about
the pickup artist.
Oh, the pickup artist. That's right.
Are you trying to peacock? Sorry. I digress. What's number three?
The third part is video gaming storytelling is still at the level of B-movies. And he gives the example of the top five best-selling Xbox games ever. And I will now read the caption for each screenshot of these top five games. Faceless Space Soldier guns down many aliens. Faceless Earth Soldier guns down many, many foreigners. Different Space Soldier guns down many, many aliens. Different Space Soldier guns down many, many aliens again. Eastern European man bent on revenge kills everyone in New York. Could you identify what those games were just from the captions? Because they all sound pretty much the same. That's his point, is that we really have to pass what the main things are. You look at Halo, you look at Gears of War, you know, you look at the Grand Theft Auto. That's basically all you've boiled down to. There's no real storyline. And then, but I think there's hope in this, because look at the games that we've appreciated recently.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption had a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. I was sucked into that right from the beginning. I was blown away by that story. Uncharted 2, great story. Alan Wake, great story. Mm-hmm. So if they put the effort into it, I think we can move past this one. But, you know, Bioshock.
Love
those stories. Even though you still get to do a lot of killing, there's still room.
But not Borderlands. So, Borderlands is pretty much alien going and killing
treasure hunting.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Storyline.
There really wasn't a ton of storyline. Yeah. And even when I got to the end, I didn't really understand what the story was.
Yeah, I didn't understand that story at all. Not at all. Borderlands is a blast to play, and I love that game. But
What's number two?
It says that we're still obsessed by shiny gadgets, which essentially just is about the consoles that are coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, how people are getting worked up on
3D.
How many pixels are in the screenshot? How is the game rendering X, Y, and Z instead of what's the story? Mm-hmm. What's the gameplay like? They actually had an example from Alan Wake. They had a screenshot from Alan Wake where somebody had blown up the pixels and counted the pixels and then posted that, oh my God, there weren't the 720 pixels that there were supposed to be for this Xbox game. And then people went off on a tangent going, well, I'm not buying this game if they can't render it at this. Blah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Can you just step back and listen to yourself for a second? You're losing your mind because the picture wasn't rendered at the full 720. You're not worried about, was the game glitchy? Was it good? You know, was I engaged?
Yeah.
Would I play it again? No. You're worried about that stuff? Come on. And then the last one is, he says, we have some serious entitlement issues, which I have to I have to agree. Yeah. He gives an example of how this company decided to do a test and put $80 worth of independent DRM video games up on their website and said, look, here's $80 worth of gameplay. You can take it and pay whatever you feel it's worth. Whatever you want, you can pay. And a full 25% of people paid nothing. Yeah, they just outright stole it.
Wow.
Most people paid about $9 for $80 worth of content.
Mm.
So people have this feeling, they have this entitlement issue where they'd rather, pirate it.
Yeah.
They'd rather steal it, essentially, borrow it from a friend, rather than outright paying for it. They'd rather just get it for free.
Well, that's an interesting number one, because do you remember when we talked about the bundle pack, the indie bundle pack?
Yes.
Because I paid $30 for that bundle pack.
Right.
And I didn't have to pay anything for it.
You didn't have to.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder what the average was for that bundle pack that they saw.
That'd be very interesting.
I would be interested in seeing the numbers for that. And I made sure that even though I could have donated to charity, I actually gave it all to the developers.
Well, sure. If you're not supporting them, who do you think is?
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's like the add-on, the mod writers. Mm-hmm. Well, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys work their butts off to get this great content out there for us that we depend on now. And how many times have we gone and donated to them?
Right.
Every time a patch comes up, they're working their butts off to get those right, so it doesn't break the add-on, so we don't complain about this free mod.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And total sense of entitlement.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
I mean, I get mad when my stuff isn't working, yeah. And then like, okay, this is totally free. Why am I being
exactly? Yeah. What, can you see this? Can you see the irony?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the article does make a very valid point. They said, look, if this continues, developers are just going to keep developing for the consoles where piracy is almost non-existent.
I mean, right.
I'm not saying it isn't, but they're gonna go where they're guaranteed to some degree that the effort that they put into their product is going to get them money because people are actually going to buy it. They may rent it, but somebody's going to buy this game. And you're going to see PC games just fall down to the side because of the piracy. You know, people would rather steal it than pay for it,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cruddy.
That was a great article.
Yeah, it was actually very well written. And, you know, so I'm sad to say that he's right. When I open my mouth and tell people that, oh, yeah, game, they look at me like I just suddenly grew two heads.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my God, you do?
Yeah, I don't. I try not to tell people at work. or other, even my friends. You know, my friends are like, hey, come out on Tuesday night to go to happy hour. And I'm like, okay, I can do that, but I have to be home by a certain time.
I have an appointment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You see something else.
Yeah, I just don't want to tell them that, you know, well, you know, I've got, like, I have a raid. And they're like, raiding. Oh, you're such a loser. And I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, you guys have hobbies. This is my hobby.
Exactly.
It would be like, kind of party. Come on.
Exactly. Well, speaking of Warcraft, let's move on to Warcraft talk, because this week, well, no, actually, not this week, but past week. When did it start? When did Midsummer?
It started Sunday.
It started Sunday. So the Midsummer Fire Festival started. And this is one of the events for the long, crazy trip that I need to do.
Long, strange.
Yeah. Whatever that's called.
Strange trip.
But it's one of those achievements that is always been kind of odd for me, because it's just kind of been in the middle. Well, it's the summer, you know, start of summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it starts on the summer solstice,
right?
And you have to go around to all the different flight paths, I guess, all the cities. Oh, it's Sunday. I missed the run. Crap!
Yeah.
I just.
Yeah, you missed it today.
we had a coop run today.
I need to do that, because you have to go to each of the Alliance cities, which I tried to do the other night with Ralph.
It's rough. Rough on
you. You know what? I did it this morning. I ran right into every single major city.
They camped me, and they were just jerks.
And ran right back out. Yeah. I did it, you know, on the off hour when there weren't players really on.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, it can be done. It can be done.
And the XP off of these fires is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yes. If you're still leveling, do it now.
Yeah, do it if you're still leveling. I have my mage who's sitting at level 74. she's gonna go finish these out because get about a level and a half out of just doing the fires.
Right.
Nothing else.
Plus, not to mention the gold. Yeah. There's nice gold. Yeah. And some nice buff food.
Because you get, like, what, 10,000 for honoring and 20,000 for dishonoring it, or whatever they call it.
I believe it scales according to your level.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
my priest, when she was 78 or 77, was getting 12,000 and 24,000.
Gotcha.
Nice. But then again, you have the extra heirloom pieces.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did have heirloom pieces on. But
so I think 10 and 20 is roughly right?
That's about right. Yeah, on my little level 30 paladin, she's getting like 1,000 and 1,200 or something.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's really nice. And I think it's fun just to go around and, you know, everyone says it's desecrating the fire, but it makes that sound like you're peeing on it.
It does sound like you're peeing on the fire. Yeah.
And there's a hoon, which they changed it this year. It used to be where, you know, each person, like they did with the Brewfest, could go and start it, and you would go through this 5 times. Now you go in there once with a group, and everyone who hasn't done it gets a bag and gets whatever loot is coming in the chest. And in the bag, you get 2 frost badges, and you get a chance for other goodies. There's a staff that makes it like snow around you, and it's really cool.
Yes, very cool.
Pet, which I got the pet yesterday.
Oh, a pet?
Yeah, I got the pet yesterday. It's a little rock elemental guy, and it throws snowballs. Yeah, so here my priest turned 80 yesterday or the night before, and she's already got 15 frost badges.
Nice.
Just turned 80. And I was like, that's great. That is so awesome that they're doing that. And it's nice for the people who, like Asheo, his tune is they keep extending their raid ID because they're at the Lich King. So he's not getting frost badges anywhere else except for his daily and the hoot. So it's nice that he can go in or people like him can go in and get frost badges when they're not getting them through ICC.
Mm-hmm. And Ahun's he's only here for this festival, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So he'll go away on Wednesday, is it?
And the very nice thing is they've actually added him to the random dungeon finder.
That's wonderful.
As his own different selection. So you can just, if you're just looking to knock it out, you can go and queue up for that and get that out all by yourself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of my favorites. It's kind of relaxing to me, and it's great XP and it's great gold. And
do you guys have any tips for the juggling?
No, I have no tips right now. I'm kind of stuck on that.
Oh, the achievement's really easy. So all you have to do is get 10 torches.
Yeah,
where I did, I went up in the, and you have to be in Dalaran, of course. So that's where you're supposed to be.
Right.
You zoom in. And you hotbar your torches. So then you just click, 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 click. And if you just keep going and going and going, eventually it will catch up and you got your 40. And
But you have to click with your hotbar and then click with your mouse at the same time.
Yeah. So you're clicking your hotbar, clicking your mouse, alternating between them very quickly.
And you have to do 40 in 15 seconds, which is more than half a second apart.
Wow.
I mean, That's just crazy to me.
I mean, you just click and click. And so what it does is it just keeps starting over. And so it took me like 4 rounds to get my 40. But so it just, you know, you just keep going, keep going, keep going, and keep going. And all of a sudden, boom, you've got it.
Okay.
I got to tell you, it was much easier last year. It was not this. It's not this.
Yeah, something did change from last year, but it's still this one. I only had to do it the one time, and I got it. So
that's cool. I'll try it again.
Doing it that way wasn't as hard.
Yeah, I need to get in there and just finish it and be done with it.
Yeah, so several people I know that this is the last achievement that they needed for It's Been a Long, Strange Trip, which will give them the Violet Protodrake, and 310 Mount.
Oh.
So just as a little FYI, if you have Sparkle Pony and then you get your 310 Mount, Sparkle Pony is now 310.
Very nice.
Several mounts that you have will scale up to whatever it is, the fastest mount that you have.
So. That's really cool.
Always nice to get this achievement if you can.
I think Halloween is the last one for me.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I got a little while before.
So. But Halloween's, that's my personal favorite. That one's mine because of the, the haunted, the headless horseman.
Yeah, that one's a fun fight. And I wonder if they're going to change the rest of them to be like a Hoon, where it's not, you don't
where you have to travel in.
Well, you each had to go up, and all five of you had to go click it, and each five.
Yeah, like Brewfest. Yeah.
Yeah, this one was so much easier. I'm so glad they changed it.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can go back in and do it. Even if you've already done it, you can go help people. You're not going to get an extra bag, but you can go help people, whereas before you couldn't. Or you could, but it just wasn't. No one wanted to.
You know, we pulled in a level 74 into a Hoon.
Oh, nice. Usually the seasonals are 77.
Well, we had pulled in my brother-in-law into the party, and we weren't going to actually be able... It was grayed out. It wasn't going to let us go into the dungeon. So we dropped him from the party. We pulled Ava into the party. We went into the dungeon. We kicked Ava from the party. We then brought Ian into the party. We had Mark summon him in. It was so complicated. But it worked. And he got the frost badges too.
Oh, nice.
And he got an 80 back piece for when he hits 80. It was awesome. It worked. Yeah. So
Warlocks backdoor to most every problem.
Yeah. Totally.
It was nice when I hit 80 and boom, I get to put on that level. Is it 232 or 245? 45. I don't remember. But, you know, it's like, oh my God, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the XP off of that thing is wicked.
Yeah.
So patch 335 dropped as well with the new chat and real ID system. Did you guys start playing with that yet?
Yeah, I have. So obviously our raid group, we've set that up with the real ID. So it's actually... It's actually kind of a little disconcerting because it will actually pop up and show you.
Yeah, you're like,
tail is on now.
I'm like,
what?
I'm like, who's that?
I'm like, yeah, I don't know these people.
You have to know their real names. Like, who came on?
Yeah, who so is that?
And the only reason that I went ahead and did it was because, one, my email address, pretty much everyone knows it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Randy's Molly. Everything is Randy's Molly. Nothing else but my gaming is attached to that. And people know my real name. There's a lot of people who don't want their real names put out there.
Yeah.
Yes. And with that, looking at friend of friend, people can see other people's real names. They may or may not know who that person is, but they can see them. So I think Blizzard needs to change that and give the option if you want your name to show up on friends of friends list, just like Facebook.
Yeah.
I think if they do that, more people will sign up. Also, it needs an option for invisible. You know, I would really like to go invisible. You know, because there's sometimes I just want to go. You know, I have Alliance tunes that I'm over there playing that absolutely nobody knows about. They know about them now. Or, you know, my friends who are together, they know about them now. And I'm like, that would be really nice.
The thing that bothers me just from a security standpoint is no one knew this address, this email address, except for Blizzard, because I made it specifically for, you know, Battle.net. And now I'm handing it out.
Yeah.
And if you think that doesn't worry me about a brute force attack, it does. Even though I have an authenticator, and that doesn't really I'm still very, very nervous now that this email address that nobody else knew is now out in the open and it's flying around. And I'm kind of concerned about that.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, it really is. Right now, I've restricted it only to my raid group and to the officers in our guild. Those are the right. only people that I have on my list. Well, and really the people in our raid channel. But it's still that I've had people friend a friend me that I haven't accepted their invitations yet.
So
just because I don't know who their friends of friends are.
And, so when you're going into your profile, are you setting that up?
It's all automatic. You choose when you add a friend. If
right.
You
either add them as their character name or their real ID.
Or just.
But where are you, can you change your display name?
No.
No.
It's your Blizzard name. It's whatever's on your battle.net account.
Yeah. Oh.
And you can't change that.
Right. Which, it kind of just kind of nags at me.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, this is, it's scary for a lot of people. I mean, because I am a lot of people, but I know those people personally and we've agreed to talk to each other. And these friends of friends can't be adding me that way. Except maybe on Steam or something, but that's a little different. I can see a big fallout from this.
Yeah.
I can see it coming.
Because honestly,
I mean, being exposed like this.
Well, and the other thing that really kind of upset me is all of my notes are gone.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I had a lot of notes because people that I run with, I like to, like, if I run with a tank that was really good or helpful or nice, I make a note of that. I don't know. Like, for instance, Buxley has a rogue and I didn't know his name. And he's like standing next to me and like doing emotes. And I'm like,
this creepy guy.
And I'm like, and I say to him, I'm sorry, Blizzard wiped out all my notes. Who are you? And he's like, it's Buxley. I'm like, oh, hey, Buxley. But that's it really upset me that Blizzard just decided to wipe out all of my notes in my list. So now I have a list of all of these tune names that I'm like, okay, who are these people?
The one thing I do like is that all my friends lists are the same now, or at least those, my real ID friends. So when I'm over on a Jublathos, I can see my friends back on Earthen Ring. And that is actually really nice because then they're like, you know, hey, come do a random with us. And so I say, okay, I got to go. And I switch servers. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of nice to do that.
No, that is nice.
Not Ralph, because I ignore Ralph. But... Oh, and Tiny Toot. We have to mention Tiny. Don't mention Tiny. He'll get very upset.
That's right. He has to keep up his celebrity status.
They also have the new chat in there, which I kind of like this. This is really nice because it used to be where if you're typing in one of your preset channel or your personal channels, like we have our raid group channel that we talk in, and that's where we mostly talk, I would always have to constantly, you know, change to that channel. Mm-hmm. Now it automatically just stays in that last channel that you were on. So officer channel, it'll just, I always had to, you know, /O and then type. Now it's just, if you are talking in O-chat, you continue to talk in O-chat, which is very, very nice. That's one of my favorite things that happened in this patch.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't it seem like you almost need a manual to figure out what the heck had happened? Like there was a lot of stuff that happened. It was just kind of like, here you go. Have fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like Xanar says, there have been a lot of mistells going on. I've seen a lot of mistells so far. A lot of them.
Very true.
None of them have been good mistells yet, but
well, and you also have that status message now that broadcasts because it's like,
oh my god, there's some funny ones too. People are being crazy with that broadcast message.
It's like, I need to go to take a nap. Okay. See you later. It's like the Facebook status. Do you
it
really,
is.
You know? All right. Okay. Okay.
One other thing I wanted to mention on this is there's a bug. I'm on a 64-bit OS on my Windows machine.
I am too.
Has yours been crashing?
Nope.
A lot? None. Oh my gosh.
That's what, when you were saying that, I'm like, I want a 64-bit machine. I'm on Windows 7 64-bit.
I'm on Windows 7 too, 64. And this isn't a new problem. It's just been exacerbated by, I love that word, by this patch. And I was crashing like 7 times in an hour.
Wow.
So Ava had done some research for me because I was too lazy to go do it myself. and he found an article on wow.com that Blizzard said, okay, for now, turn down your video settings to medium and the problem should go away, and they're working on a fix.
Gotcha.
Which sucks because I'm used to running with everything maxed and it looks so pretty and so great, and I'm used to seeing it that way. Now everything's down to medium and I don't like the way it looks anymore. So
but is it working? Is it not crashing?
Yeah, it hasn't crashed since that time.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's good.
At least there's that.
Yeah.
So we'll put that link up there on the show notes as well, so you can go read it.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, and maybe the people who it's not crashing didn't have all their settings maxed.
I thought I had mine maxed, but who knows? All right. Well, let's move on and keep this show rolling. We have a couple of games that are going to be coming out. The new Lego Harry Potter game is going to be coming out on June 29th. Are you looking forward to this, guys?
I have never played a Lego Harry Potter
game. I have to say, I do enjoy a Lego game here and there. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to play that. I'll probably play it. It's going to come out on all platforms, so pick your poison. Nice. So on June 29th, it will be out. And from years 1 through 4. So,
which is kind of weird. That's the name of the game. Years 1 through 4.
So,
that always struck me as odd.
I'm sure it's ramping up for the new Harry Potter film that's going to be coming out soon. All right. So we also have Puzzle Quest 2 that will be coming out on the DS and the Xbox 360 on June 30th. And, it looks like we have some Fat Princess downloadable content coming out for the PS3.
Yeah. Woo! And this one has the new characters you can play, the pirate.
And the ninja.
Very cool.
That's going to be pretty cool. I'm kind of excited about this. And I think they said 4 new maps.
Yeah. And it's only $4.99 too.
Yeah, this one looks fun.
It does look fun. They've needed to add to the PS3 version of Fat Princess for a while now. So, I have to say the PSP version, I finally saw the UMD disc version in the store in Best Buy for the first time in the store last week. I know we were talking how I couldn't find it.
Yeah,
finally found it, and I know that they had it. But because they had it for rent and Gamefly, so I think Iceworm had said, "Oh, I saw it," but it was like Bigfoot. You couldn't find it anywhere. It was just impossible. It was like elusive. It was weird. So I finally saw it in the wild, but it was kind of, I don't know. But yeah, I finally found the PSP version in the store. But this new downloadable content for the PS3 version should be coming out on, it says the 29th on this article that I'm reading. It says the 30th of what you've put out.
Yeah, I saw two different dates out there. So I put the later one just in case. So it's either Tuesday or Wednesday it's coming out.
And then Singularity. When does Singularity come out? Because this game looks awesome.
June 29th. That's what its scheduled release date is.
Oh, I'm so playing this game.
Yeah, so that's this Tuesday. Yeah. That's
going to be the game.
I like the time travel.
Yeah, I think we might have to make that the game we're going to talk about next.
I think you're right. And it does claim to have multiplayer, so I'm game to try that out.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
It's gotten really, really good reviews so far.
It looks really great. For kind of the bargain buys going on, all I'm going to say is Steam.
That's right.
If you have not gone to Steam, you need to go to Steam. Steam is having a huge sale. And I say go to Steam frequent and often because the sales are changing daily. And they will be changing daily until July 4th. So right now, they have a sale going on for 17 hours. So Half-Life is 80% off, so you can get it for $1.99.
That's the original Half-Life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the original Half-Life. Civilization is 75% off. Aww, EVE Online is 90% off.
And remember, Civilization is for Mac and PC.
That's nice.
The Max Payne bundle is 75% off, so you can get that for $3.74. So there's just tons. I'm not going to go through all of this because by the time you listen to this, these deals are going to be over.
Right.
But they have a lot of great, like, for instance, the Steam Indie Pack Bundle, 5 games for $20. They have pack bundles that are going to be the same all the way to the July 4th date. And those are going to be rotating at the top of the webpage all the way to July 4th. So check out Steam. Store.steampowered.com is the website. Awesome, awesome sale going on right now. It's amazing. And I will say this. If you go to the website and you see something on sale and you think, it might be the game for me, but I wish it was a little bit on sale, click on it because, like, for instance, I saw Ghostbusters. It was saying that it was like $8.99. I clicked on it and it was actually $4. Ooh. So they're having some kind of wonky pricing things going on. Click on the game to see what the actual price is, because what it's saying on the front page isn't actually always what it's going to display. So a lot of times what I'm finding is that it's actually cheaper than what it's displaying on the front page. So
cool.
There you go.
All right.
Huge sales. Awesome. All right. So last Sunday, Kim and I went on the incredible podcast of Amazing Awesome. And I put together a quick little video game quiz. And I love quizzes because on the Movielicious, I put together a little movie quiz where I put little sound clips together. And I have the audience guess the movie. So I figure, why not do this with video games, right? We have thousands upon thousands of video games in our repertoire. So why not do that with all of you? So
awesome.
We have people in the chat room. We have stuff to give away. In fact, Kim, you have something to give away to our audience. Yes?
Yes. Yes, we yes. do. So, we will... whoever gets the most of these right, I have a Papa Hummel's Pep Biscuit card that I will send you the code for. So just keep that in mind as you're listening to these, because those are awesome little Pep Biscuits. Those are the best.
All yes. Right.
Okay. So the first one is going to actually be almost a makeup for one of the sound clips that I played on Tipawa, because it was a last minute kind of thing, and I didn't realize they were all MIDIs, but they were. So here's the first clip, and
we're just taking the first correct answer.
Yeah, we're gonna take the first correct answer, and it is a minute long, so I'm not gonna play the whole clip, but we'll get most of it, and we'll see who gets it. All right. So here we go. Oh. Kishel is the winner, Halo 3.
Yay!
That is the correct main menu track to Halo 3 instead of the MIDI.
I thought it was going to be Enya. I was going to break into an Enya song. Wait a minute.
It does sound like it, huh?
I swear. I went to YouTube and I said, Halo 3, main menu track. That is what they gave me. That is the track.
Woo!
I can give you the clip.
Okay, so our score is one. Right? For Kishel.
One for Kishel.
All right.
All right. Here's the next one. Marathon got it. That was Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah. Or Banjo-Tooie. Banjo-Tooie. Well, he was close enough.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of that song in my life.
It's a Nintendo 64 game.
Yeah. It's an old game.
Yeah.
Very cool game, though, man. That was one of my favorite games. I played it.
Banjo-Tooie.
So that was Matterhorn, yeah?
Matterhorn.
All right.
All right, here's the next one. Here's
the next one.
Are you doing your Vanna hands at the same time that you're doing that?
I think they could see me. I forgot they could see me. All right. Horde Curious got it.
Oh, nice Frogger. One. Frogger.
That was Frogger. so many days played with that game.
I think you may need a tiebreaker the way it's going.
Yeah,
I have five. I have five clips. All right. Here's the fourth one. They're going to start getting easy. Xanar, Fat Woo-hoo! Princess.
Very good.
Man, that one like burned into my brain.
Is the intro music to Fat Princess.
Woo!
All right. So this is the last one.
Need a tiebreaker here, guys.
That's right.
Fang 14, Left 4 Dead.
Ah, nice.
Wow.
All right, so does that mean we have five people that have gotten...
You're correct. Whoops.
All right. So let me pick... So out of the five people that have gotten the game or the quiz,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick a game. I don't know. What are we going to get here? I didn't think there was going to be a tie.
I know. We were in game like.
See, that's why this is called a test.
On Control Alt WoW, they always are in game playing, which I don't know how they do that. And they do a slash roll and they can do it that way. But we're none of us are in game.
No,
are
we? True.
Is anybody in game?
Oh, I could actually do a, I could do a random roll.
Yeah, do a random roll. And we'll just do 1 through 5.
I have a number, a random number generator. Random.org. All right.
Well, you could always do the I'm thinking of a number.
That's true. So, okay. So who's, did you assign everybody? Kim?
I was just going to go the order of.
Okay.
How they answer.
So here's my number, 1 through 5. And the winner is number 3.
I got Horde Curious. Horde Curious. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations,
Frogger!
Email and let us know that it was you, and I will send you the code for that.
Congratulations!
Right.
Now you'll have big pets everywhere
yes,
you go.
Share the love. Throw them on your raid teams.
Well, that was fun.
That was. I enjoyed the real ones better than the middies. That was much better. I like that a lot.
It's really hard to find a central database of all games, of all systems for all time.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's really what I try to do is I try to mix it up and you know, like find Dreamcast games, find, our, you know, ColecoVision games. And I want to try to mix it up that way. And what I was trying to do is find the game and then search for it on YouTube to then find the sounds.
Sure.
So...
I can see why that would be difficult.
Yeah. It takes some prep time.
Yeah. Yeah. We can help you out next time with that.
Okay. Oh, for sure.
All right.
We got no emails this week.
Oh.
But we do have a voicemail. We don't have any emails. I thought we had an email.
I did not see one. If there's a one out there I missed, maybe I deleted it without knowing or something. But I didn't see any emails from this week.
But we do have a voicemail.
All right.
So,
and we have some iTunes reviews.
That's true. So let's play the voicemail. And it would be funny if I paused it right around the time that he talks about certain things, but because you never know where he's going with some of this.
Ooh. All right.
All right.
Hey, ladies. Late. This is Shane from down under Australia. How's it going? I was just wondering, I happened to be listening to Tipple and couldn't help but notice I've loved us Australian accents, and it made us sad, and it always does when we hear that you love us. You always seem to be married, gay, or generally not looking for a guy at the moment. And on that note, me and a couple of mates have been having some issues finding sort of anyone of the opposite sex, and in a couple of cases, some girlfriends of ours, but finding someone with a similar interest in gaming.
So let's just pause for a second, because there's a few times where we couldn't really understand what he said, but he's basically saying, was he disappointed that we were married? Is that what he said?
I think so.
Gay, I mean, married, or not looking for a boyfriend? Is that what I caught?
Please continue to call us because we love your accent.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't care what you're reading. Just keep whatever it is.
Okay. Okay. We'll continue.
Computers, programming, whatever, anything like that. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions for environments or some sort of nice stories that you've heard of places where people like us can catch up. Because it doesn't seem like we have the whole sort of convention area that we can catch up that you guys have, like PAX, BlizzCon, or anything like that. Any suggestions you guys have would be great. Love the show and love you all. Thanks. Bye.
Aww. So he's basically saying, because we were talking about on Tipawa about PAX and conventions and meeting up and with other like-minded people.
I thought you were talking about PAX, like PACKS.
Oh.
Like, where do packs of women hang out? That's what I thought you were talking about. I was like trying to wrap around my head, like, what? He's trying to find packs of women? I'm gonna find one. I'm gonna hunt it, shoot it, and it's gonna be mine. I like that one. swear that's what I heard.
Well, I had to listen to it a couple of times because when he started the call, it kind of sounded like he was going in like a creepy mode. So that's kind of where my mind went. But then I realized it wasn't a creepy call at all. So then I had to
listen. I think he said he was going on a train or something like that. And I think that's why it got a little wobbly too.
So I was a little, but the second time I was like, oh, okay. They're just looking for places to meet women, basically. Well, meet gaming women.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, you know, I had meant to talk to because Jublathos, the guild, the Pants on Head guild over there, is mostly made up of Australians. Mm-hmm. So I love getting in their vent because I'm just melting the whole time because there's like, you know, 15 Australian guys talking and I'm just like, oh. So I meant to ask those guys over there and Tempest what advice he would give them. So maybe next week we can like get some advice from them on actually being in Australia and finding a place to go.
Or if you're Australian and you're listening,
yes.
You know, if you go to conferences or do you have conferences.
Send us a voicemail.
I mean, yeah, because I mean, in the States, there are so many conferences. I'm going to a ton of cons this year. Where, I mean, we're going to Dragon Con, we're going to BlizzCon, there's PAX, there's just tons.
There's Gen Con, mm-hmm. which is like more a board game one up in Ohio. Yeah, and it's a great place to meet. And we have a ton of meetups just the RARcast. They have, I'm not sure it's their specific, but they have a DFW WoW group.
Yeah.
And I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so I just joined their group, and I'm going to go to their next meetup just to meet some WoW players because right. I'm like the only one I know in the area except for my guildies. And my one and only WoW friend moved away, and, you know.
And we should say, these aren't singles meetups.
No.
It's... people like-minded like you. Exactly. Now, there might be women there, and you might form a common interest, but the purpose is not single-type meetups. So, let's just be clear. So,
well, they might have events at those cons, though, for singles.
That's true. That is true.
You know, I think, you know, and they probably do. I haven't looked into them, but I imagine they have those kind of things.
That is true.
But yeah, so will people write in, give us your recommendations, and or if call in if you're Australian and you.
That's right.
If you're Australian or British, I don't mind a British.
Or British, yeah, or South African, you know, that just a wonderful accent. Please call us.
But if you do see women in a pack, remember they can smell fear, so just be cautious because they may bolt. You just don't know.
Okay, we actually did have a couple of emails. We got one from Rachel, who we talked about. She says, "Hi, ladies. In your recent show, you talked about Super Mario Galaxy 2 and how you weren't really enjoying it. I personally think Mario in space is pretty awesome, and everyone has an opinion, right? Of course. I did hear a few of you mention that you really enjoyed the side-scroller Mario games, and I wonder if you ever gave new Super Mario Brothers." Game for the Wii a chance, and yes, I did. It is the same side-scroller fashion as the old-school Mario, and it's so much fun. There is some new great power-ups, and you can play with up to 4 people at a time. It is challenging and exciting all at the same time, and I had lots of fun playing it with my husband. Check it out if you haven't. I think you'll like it. We need some more Wii love from the ladies. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work. And thank you so much, Rachel, first for your email. And I agree. I've played it, and I'm just not giving my Wii any love. I'm having problems with it. I'm sorry. yeah. Not much I can do about it. But thank you for your email. And out of the two, I do like the new Super Mario Brother more than the Galaxy one. So there you go.
You know, I thought we had read that one last time. That's why I thought It was
all... Oh, no, huh?
No, for some reason, I was like, we read that one. Too many podcasts this week.
I think so.
All right.
We do have some iTunes reviews, though.
Bring it on.
Let's see here. We have one from Noga of AIE. And he says, how very leet of you. This is one of the greatest gaming podcasts you will ever find. I just wish the podcast was done more often. I can't get enough of it. Keep up the great podcasting. Awesome. Okay, the next one is from Wimmick. Makes my commute so much better. The ladies of this podcast really have struck podcasting platinum. I really appreciate and enjoy the format, but even more so the person-centric storytelling as each of the ladies talk about the games that they played or encounters they've had during the previous week. I look forward to a new episode being released because it means that my long commute will be better for that hour than that they are playing in the car. Thank you, ladies elite.
That's
so awesome.
A very long one. And we have one more. Great gaming podcast by John Mack. I heard about this podcast from BOE, which is Bind on Equip. Awesome podcast. I really only play WoW, so hearing news on all new games is great. It gives me topics to chat with my 16-year-old. Oh, awesome.
Nice.
Thanks, ladies. I'm climbing the ladder from geek to almost cool. Yes.
Very cool.
Thanks for those. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And those always help the iTunes ratings so much. So if you'd like to leave us a review, we might be able to read those on the next show. So leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and we'd greatly appreciate it.
Woo-hoo.
So, Stephanie, how can they get a hold of us if they'd like to email us?
Oh, right. Well, the email address is ladiesofleet@gmail.com. That also ties into the website, which is ladiesofleet.com. We have our call-in number, mm-hmm. which is area code 623-252-4263. Each of us has a Twitter account, as well as the Ladies of Leet has a Twitter account, @ladiesofleet. @ Nicole Spag,
yep.
@ Randy's Molly, and @ myself, which is XIAXIAN1. And I'll try to get a more complex name next time. Maybe throw in some strange characters or something like that. Just to make it crazy.
Very cool. Go ahead.
They're on the Bind on Equip podcast. They have a special ambassador program, and you might just hear a familiar voice on there. A weekly occurrence. So you might want to listen to that.
Would it be you?
It's not me, but it's a friend of mine named DG.
It's tiny.
Oh.
It's tiny.
He's bringing the Canadian perspective.
Yes. We need that all the time because he doesn't spread his Canadian love as much as he should.
That's right.
Well, this has been a great episode, guys, and thank you for listening. And so for our next episode, it looks like we are going to be focusing on Singularity, which I cannot wait to play.
Yes.
And I'm sure we'll be playing a few other games from the time we talk. From now till then, because 2 weeks is a long time from now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So at times I think we should do it every week, but I don't know. 2 weeks I think is a good schedule for us because life seems to happen. And
well, and we're actually able to play the games more in depth than just a quick one-night play of a game. We can play it for up to 2 weeks, which normally it's only a few days that we actually get to play it because of our lives. But that's why we kind of do it every 2 weeks.
Yeah. And now, go ahead.
Do you guys want to give out your PSN names? Just out of curiosity.
No, mine's Randy's Molly. So.
And mine is Nicole Spag.
And mine is Gypsy Girl 99. So if you want to send us an invite, just be sure to kind of tell us who you are because you kind of get random things and, be nice.
It helps.
It does.
It's like, were you the guy that was just griefing me in my nation? Because I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah, exactly. Shot my horse. I'm not exactly want to be your friend right now.
So we'll talk with you in 2 weeks, and we'll have a whole another batch of games to talk about. So until then, have fun playing. Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Packs of women.
Wow.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
In a world where women play computer games.
No, I can't even imagine it. It's too crazy.